Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. It's nice to hear from so many people during the week about how they enjoy the show, and that keeps us going, so keep those emails and phone calls coming. Really do appreciate it. It's the 38th day of the Omer, and you know what that means. Only 11 more days till cheesecake time in the Old Town tonight. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. And the parsha this week is Behar Behukosai. And if you can say it, you got half the battle won. Actually, my son Yankee lucked out for his bar mitzvah because these parshas were split, and he only had to read Behar. That's the short one, which means on the mountain. But seriously, here we read about the sabbatical year. Every seventh year, all the work on the land ceased, the land rested. How did the people eat, you ask? I heard you ask. Well, God provided them double in the year preceding so they wouldn't go hungry, and every 50th year is a jubilee year. All slaves went free, and all land returned back to its original owners, and had a great time. Well, in the second half, God promises great wealth and prosperity if one follows his commandments, and you know what? Great peril if you don't. So you have free will, but if you make the wrong choice, stand by. And speaking of standing by, our award-winning staff is standing by with the best in educational Jewish radio. With musical moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Mr. Bora DeLynn. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Our special guest this week is the founder of Torah One-on-One, Rabbi Yaakov Rosenstein. He's developed a very innovative way to take Torah to the streets. You know, if a Jew can't come to Torah, Rabbi Rosenstein brings the Torah to them. And, of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news, fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up in the half hour. And don't forget to take time now to support Jewish Radio in Pittsburgh. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week. Send an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net or call us at 412-979-5770, and we'll let you in on all the details. If you want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor with us. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Rabbi Searle Zerlo, and his popular story segment is sponsored by Perfect Flooring. Of course, they take the showroom to you. Community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. The popular feminine perspective and Rabbi Eisen's moment in Jewish history is available for sponsorship, so call right now and reserve your spot. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. Our entire staff works hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we do rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, led by our own musical Moishe, and, of course, Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free. Just call us at 412-979-5770 or send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 8:07 p.m., so sit back and take in that a cappella. I know you wait all year for it, and here it is.
Shalom. 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 Let there be peace. Peace in Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 shalom
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refua Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The Torah tells us, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Shabbos of rest. You shall do no manner of work. How meaningful are even the most simply worded of Hashem's commands. In fact, there is significance even in the sequence and order of the Torah's words concerning the Shabbos day. First, the Torah commands us to work for 6 days, and then we are commanded to rest on the seventh. The calendar week begins on Sunday. Prevalent custom has designated this first day as a day of rest, with the working week following. The Torah, however, sets the working week first, to be followed by the day of rest, the Holy Shabbos. 6 days shall work be done, and only then the seventh day is a Shabbos of solemn rest, the exact reverse of general practice. This precedence of labor before rest indicates that the purpose of man on earth is not to while away his time, but to work for his spiritual as well as his own material welfare and for that of his community. Immediately following the creation of Adam, the Torah states, "And Hashem took Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and guard it." The meaning of this verse is as follows. It was Hashem's will that man work to develop within himself the spiritual qualities with which he has been endowed by Hashem. In this way, man could become an active partner of Hashem in the development and revelation of his own and the world's innate good qualities. Having informed us that our purpose in the world is to work and guard it, Hashem gave us the Torah. derived from the Hebrew word horah, teaching, to teach us how we are to work and guard the world. With the Torah as our guide, we will be able to fulfill our task and bring fulfillment to ourselves and to the world around us.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600.
521-2600. Lo alech oligmor below ata ben chorin lihibatel mimena below ata ben chorin below ata ben chorin lihibatel mimena below ata ben chorin. Sheyivane Beit HaMikdash, Sheyivane. Sheyivane Beit HaMikdash, Sheyivane. Bimei Rabbi Ameinu, Sheyivane. Bimei Rabbi Ameinu, Sheyivane. Sheyivane HaMikdash.
שיבנה בית המקדש, שיבנה, שיבנה בית המקדש, שיבנה, במהרה בימינו שיבנה, במהרה בימינו שיבנה, שיבנה המקדש.
Now it's time for a moment in Jewish history with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Rambam, 1135 to 1204. Of all the Rishonim, none are as famous in both the Jewish and general worlds as the Rambam. In contrast to other Rishonim, the events of his life are very well known. Born in Cordova, Spain, while yet a youth, the Rambam's family, along with thousands of other Jews, fled Almohad-controlled Muslim Spain for the relative safety of the Christian part of the country. A few years later, the Maimon family moved again to Morocco. Fleeing further persecution, they wound up in Eretz Yisrael and then moved to Egypt, where the Rambam finally settled. Thereafter, much misfortune struck the Rambam's family. After his father's death, his younger brother, David, supported the Rambam's Torah study by dealing in precious stones. However, David died at sea, taking with him his entire fortune, leaving the Rambam with the burden of supporting both his own and his brother's family. Specializing in medicine, the Rambam became the ruler's personal physician. Although his medical duties took up his time from early morning until past midnight, the Rambam still managed to produce works of unsurpassed brilliance. Among his incredible output, his best-known writings are as follows. Mishneh Torah. The Rambam's magnum opus, this monumental halachic compendium, is unique among all writings of the Rishonim. Generally, halachic works were written regarding laws applicable after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Mishneh Torah, however, covers the entire gamut of Torah law, including sacrifices, ritual purity, monarchy, and yovel, even though these precepts had not been performed for more than 1,000 years. All this material is covered in a clear-flowing Hebrew, making the book a pleasure to study, even or especially for people of limited background. Unlike other authors of compilations of Jewish law, Rambam gives no sources for his decisions. As such, his intention was for Mishneh Torah, unburdened as it was by lengthy explanations, to become the handbook of every Jew. Ironically, instead of becoming every Jew's handbook, Mishneh Torah has become the sine qua non of Talmudic scholarship. Hundreds of volumes have been written on it, a process that continues today. Based on a seeming omission or addition of a single word in Mishneh Torah's explanation of a topic, advanced scholars expend great effort in extrapolating myriads of novel insights. In the yeshiva world, the mark of a distinguished scholar is his ability to clarify a Shvera Rambam, a difficult passage in Mishneh Torah. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
Aides to Prime Minister Ehud Olmert say that he wants to testify before the Vinograd Commission on the second war in Lebanon for a second time. The aides say that much of the criticism against Olmert was based on testimony from Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni and that Olmert did not agree with her version of events. As an example, Livni told the commission that she pushed for a diplomatic solution from the beginning and warned Olmert to make sure fighting ended quickly on the second day of the war. Olmert argues that the conversation Livni mentioned never took place and that Livni did not speak of political goals to the fighting until much later. Former member of Knesset Azmi Bashara now says he will not return to Israel to face security and money laundering charges related to the war. The fugitive admitting that he had talked to members of Hezbollah during the Second Lebanon War, but insisted that the talks were, in his words, a normal day-to-day conversation between Arabs. For example, Bashara said when he asked Hezbollah operatives why they were firing on Arab villages and not on Haifa, it was not to direct their rocket fire, but merely part of a discussion. Quoting Bashara, addressing allegations that he passed along secret information about Israeli military activities, "Everyone was already talking about it, it just wasn't published yet." Labor Party Chairman Amir Peretz says that he will review the coalition agreement with Olmert's Kadima Party following the Labor primaries May 28th, when members will vote on the party leader. He charged the Prime Minister with failing to carry out his promises to demolish dozens of Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria and expel their residents. The party chairman also stated that the government must take steps to institute promised social reforms. Peretz is trailing in pre-primaries polls with 13% of those surveyed, as compared to member of Knesset Ami Ayalon with 29%, and former Prime Minister Ehud Barak with 28%. The top two Labor candidates will go on to a second round of elections when 46% say they plan to vote for Ayalon, 35% say they will vote for Barak. Amos Baranes, who was wrongfully convicted of murder in 1976 and spent more than 8 years in prison, has announced that he is creating a new political party. Baranes says his party, temporarily dubbed the People's Party, will run on a platform of social justice and will focus on passing laws to help those in need. Moshe Karadi, who ended his tenure as police commissioner last week, says the eviction of Jews from the community of Amona in February 2006 was the biggest failure during his time as Israel's number one cop. He added that the results of the Amona operation were, in his words, not good for anyone. Not for us, the police, not for the people of Israel, and not for the state of Israel. In an interview with the Jerusalem Post, Karadi said, quoting again, "In retrospect, the evacuation of Amona should have been carried out differently, and police could have taken steps to reduce the tension at the scene." Continuing to quote, "I think that both from an operational perspective as well as from the perspective of maintaining dialogue, we could have managed things differently, and this is a lesson that we should learn." Karadi adding, "The results of the evacuation demand that we do soul searching, both for us and for the local leadership." Karadi said the 2005 expulsion of Jews from Gaza and four towns in northern Samaria earned the police what he called a place of honor in the world and let the government understand that the police could be entrusted with similar national missions. A motorized terror rocket fired from PLO-assigned Gaza exploding in an open field near the Rutenberg power station in Ashkelon Friday morning. No casualties or damage have been reported. Two of the rockets fell in open kibbutz fields in the western Negev shortly before dawn Friday morning in continued violations of the late November ceasefire. Both Prime Minister Olmert and Defense Minister Peretz this past week repeating previous warnings that the attacks will not be tolerated without retaliation, but the military has not responded. Wednesday is the 40th anniversary of the reunification of Jerusalem. Rachel Gvirtz relives being a little girl when the Jewish army conquered the old city and her father ran out to see the western wall of the temple. Hear her thoughts on demand with Yishai and Malka Fleischer on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Kaf Dalet, or the 24th of the Iyar on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, cooler with local rain on Friday, temperatures below average on Shabbat with local rain in the north and center of the country, as well as a slight risk of flooding in the Judean desert. Partly cloudy and warmer Sunday with a chance of light local rain in the morning, fair on Monday. In Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and the Golan Heights on Friday, a high of 23 degrees centigrade, 73 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 36 degrees centigrade, 97 Fahrenheit. The Dead Sea, 33 degrees centigrade, 91 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Well, last week we had a ton of Mazel Tovs, and I guess we used them all up, because this week we have only one for you, but if you want your Mazel Tovs on our program, you got to get them in on time. So look forward to doing that next week, if you would, please. This week, our big Mazel Tov is Mr. and Mrs. Yisrael Leeds on the engagement of their son, Moshe. In fact, it's brand new news, so it's real exciting Mazel Tovs in the community this week. And we're looking for your Mazel Tovs next week. Let's take a look around the community at some events that are happening. The community Pirkei Avos class for women is going to occur in area synagogues in memory of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff this Shabbos. The class will be at Lubavitch Center. And cheesecake for Shabbos. Forget about dieting. Order your delicious cheesecakes now from the Yeshiva Girls High School. Call 412-422-7300, extension 1311. And the Rieger family and Shari Torah congregation invite you to a tribute to Tina Rieger, the wife of Howard Rieger, who recently passed away. It'll be Sunday, May 20th at 6 p.m. at the Jewish Community Center, Katz Theater. There is a charge. A tribute book will be printed. Please call 412-421-8855 for more information. And a lunch and learn will take place at B'nai Emunah Synagogue on Thursday, May 24th, the second day of Shavuos. The event is free to the community. Snake Bites and Poison Antidotes, Can Torah Cure All, is the provocative title, taught by Rabbi Joseph Weiss. For more information, call 412-521-1477. And mark the day, Jewish Community Day at Kennywood Park, Sunday, August 26, 2007. You got some time, but more details are going to follow. And our ever-present meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, very successful program in the community, still meeting, Shari Torah, every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and their weight. Program is not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Ilan at 412-422-2224. Don't forget, if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call us at 412-979-5770. Or better yet, email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And remember, candlelighting time this week, 8:07 p.m. And we'd like to welcome today Rabbi Yaakov Rosenstein, who is the founder and the Executive Rabbi Director of Torah One-on-One, which you may or may not have heard about. It's something that has been going on in Pittsburgh for many years, and we had him on the program today to explain a little bit about what Torah One-on-One is all about. Rabbi, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ersh. How you doing?
Great, great. It's a great afternoon. Let me ask you, Torah One-on-One is an interesting idea, and it seems like it's something that has been done. Chabad goes out and learns with people one-on-one. The Kollel goes out and learns with people one-on-one. What gave you the idea to formalize this into a program, and how long have you been doing it?
Well, I've been doing it, started in 2001,
uh-huh.
And really kind of started just in a natural way. I was learning and working with individuals, mostly professionals, executives.
Okay.
And they kind of said that we should really kind of incorporate into a nonprofit and try to make this a little bit more available to people in an unconventional, kind of really low-keyed, kind of non-threatening type of way.
Okay, and what is your background? How long have you been involved in the Torah world doing this kind of outreach?
Well, fair question. I really grew up in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
grew up in a conservative home, was bar mitzvahed at Beth Shalom Synagogue,
okay.
And I used to be one of the star choir soloists with Cantor Taube.
Oh, wow.
And went through Colfax and Alderdice and Carnegie Mellon, at the JCC. I was a counselor for Emma Kaufman Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Went on, you know, kind of cross-country trip with JCC and to Israel with them. And when I was really at CMU, so I really started a very brief encounter with probably the first Orthodox person I ever met when I was 20 years old.
Wow. Okay. And that kind of started your path back, I guess.
Well, it really was a nun on a Greyhound bus in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Are you serious?
No, absolutely.
That's the most fascinating story I think I've heard. In fact, I didn't know that, so that's interesting. Okay, so you basically continued, and obviously you went on to get smicha, or rabbinic ordination. Where was that?
In Israel. I studied for 12 years.
Wow.
In a few different yeshivot schools.
Mm-hmm.
Started with Eish HaTorah and Or Sameach and Torah Or for 10 years with the famous Rabbi Scheinberg.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting is that I kind of skied to Israel from Alta, Utah.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, so that's great. So obviously you've got the background and the ability to do this. And I tell you something else, I guess, has probably led you into this, just a feeling that I had, is that you obviously have straddled both worlds, and therefore I guess you can relate well to the people that are, so to speak, your customers, the professionals that have asked you to come and work with them. Is that correct?
I hope so.
Okay, so when you take when you go out and do Torah one-on-one, I mean, it's obviously the name says it all. But what kind of Torah are you taking to these people? I mean, these are obviously people with not the same kind of background you'd expect of somebody that's grown up in a Torah world. So where do you start, and what kind of a career, so to speak, do you map out for them as they get into this?
Well, we kind of work with the individual in terms of what their interests are. That's what's special about it, is that there's really, we develop an interest curriculum that they might want to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's more study and textual oriented, but oftentimes it's just to explore. You know, we developed what's called the Enable process.
Okay.
And the Enable process is kind of an open-ended exploration idea. Enable is an acronym for to explore, and to gain knowledge, and to act, to have action, and to find balance.
Mm-hmm.
And within a person's personal, professional life, where so many people are stressed and strained between their body and their soul and their personal, professional careers, to learn and to grow, and really to see how the wisdom of Torah really can speak and be relevant to you. And finally, to evaluate and to see how this works for them.
Okay. So you have an ongoing review process. Is this something that people graduate from, or do they continue to do this forever?
Well, learning is not just a lifetime process, but it's lifetimes of depth. The wisdom of Torah is certainly boundless and infinite, and some people like to do it for a short time period to be able to deal with a certain interest or need, and some people would like to go on for a number of years.
Okay, so would you say that you have some benchmarks to show that you've taken people from, I guess, one level of Torah to another? For example, you say you're looking for people who have certain needs. So if somebody says, well, I'm fascinated with Jewish mysticism, are you able to take them into that path?
Sure. In fact, we're offering a Kabbalah tasting course right now, co-sponsored with the AJL, Association Agency for Jewish Learning.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the next one is going to be on Monday, May 14th. In the downtown area, in the Heinz 57 Center at 12:15.
Okay.
And so that's part three, but it's certainly anybody can come in at that time as well. But it's a way just to get kind of your feet wet and get your mind to open up and to expand.
So really, this is almost like, in a sense, pardon the expression, but you're like the Torah shrink for the professional. In other words, you go to them not necessarily to teach them Torah from a linear perspective, but you're going in there really to respond to their need and do it in a way that increases their knowledge and background and connection, I guess, to the Creator. Is that a fair statement?
Well, to be able to relate, to be able to find a deeper personal and spiritual connection. And in fact, we've been through kind of a whole evolution in terms of the taglines for
mm-hmm.
Torah 101.
Right.
Experience the beauty, wisdom, spirituality, Judaism, tools for personal, professional success. But right now we've landed on very simple message. serving the needs of Pittsburgh Jewish professionals.
So when you say Jewish professionals, who are you really looking to help in that sense? I mean, is it, do you have a target group? You say professionals, you can span almost anybody who, I guess, provides professional services. Is that kind of where you're at, or do you look for like attorneys?
What we're really focusing on, really, it's not limited to professionals and to executives and to people who have had some success in their careers. But what I did find was a fascinating thing in my 15 years of teaching now, well, actually 13 years, in various schools and teaching children and adult education, what I found was that there's this dearth of kind of ignorance that, and almost embarrassment, you know, amongst mm-hmm. a very, very sophisticated, highly educated, highly successful group of Jewish professionals and executives, and it's very hard for them to really find that personal connection,
right.
And to be able to have the time to be able to learn and to really explore and to feel comfortable and safe and that everything's confidential. They don't have to sit in a class and feel embarrassed that they look like some ignoramus that doesn't know certain basics.
Right.
And so this just kind of reduces, you know, some of the inhibitions that people can have.
Sure. Now, is Torah 101, is there a cost to this program, or do people come and make donations? How does it work?
Well, the money should not be the issue.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to want to pay something, and I try to make it as a professional service.
Uh-huh.
It certainly is worthy of such.
Uh-huh.
And so if somebody can afford, then they should pay. There is certainly part of that is going to be a charitable contribution. And then other people just, if that's going to be an inhibiting factor, so then you pay as your pleasure,
mm-hmm.
and then if they want to make a contribution later down the road, that's just fine.
Well, that's great. It's a real outreach project. So, how many? Can you give us a number? How many people you're reaching at any one time?
Well, I have about 50 or people or so that I'm mm-hmm. connecting with and working from on different interim bases, whether it's every month, once a week,
okay.
every couple months. And I try to keep in touch with them. You know, the main thing is that we're friends, that we have mutual respect, that we care about each other,
sure.
and that we're really there for each other, because I learn from these people a tremendous amount as well.
Sure. Do you have a limit? I mean, do you ever get to a point where you say, well, we have to have a waiting list here?
Well, we're getting close. And the idea, of course, is when we reach that saturation point in terms of my time and abilities, so then we want to just bring in other people who have the talent and the desire to give and to share and have the knowledge to be able to relate to them,
sure.
And just bring in more people.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You can bring in more professionals and more religious professionals and just keep it growing. So sounds like a great need that you're filling, and it sounds like it's well-received in Pittsburgh. And I want to wish you a lot of success and continue. We are running out of time slightly. But before we do, I want to give you an opportunity to give everybody your website and also your phone number if they want to get in touch with you. And it should be a program, obviously, that continue to grow and prosper.
Thank you. Well, if anybody's interested in further discussion, they can just give me a personal call at 412-779-1661, or just check out our website at www.Torah1on1. That's Torah1on1.com.
Okay, great. You know, Pittsburgh is an incredible town, and it's got incredible resources, and this is just another genesis of an entirely new concept that's probably going to spread throughout the country.
Well, we're working on that idea, and if people are interested in trying to bring this to their cities, so we have a lot of marketing materials. You know, we're really developing, you know, the incubating period
right.
of,
mm-hmm.
of development here in Pittsburgh, and then we'll be able to share with others. In fact, the McCune Foundation, very well-known Presbyterian foundation,
mm-hmm.
Was so impressed by what we're doing that they actually made a very sizable contribution.
That's great.
That they'd like to be able to help us be able to help the community, and they think it's a great thing.
So this is really your full-time thing now, right?
Absolutely.
That's great. That's great. Well, this has been Rabbi Yaakov Rosenstein, who is the founder and executive rabbi director of Torah 101, another great Pittsburgh first. Rabbi, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Harish.
Have a great
Shabbos,
job.
Everybody.
Thank you. Shabbos to you.
Bye-bye.
Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu Chosei Rachim Chosei Rachim
Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but He promised Israel to His chosen people, hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this promised land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. Because the promised land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, believersofthebible.org.
Now it's time to take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
Recently, a non-Jewish acquaintance asked me about Kabbalah. Did you study it? What is it? And questions like that. Keeping in mind that probably everything she'd heard about Kabbalah had to do with Madonna, I cautiously answered that Kabbalah is a very deep, hard-to-understand branch of the Torah that should only be attempted with a good teacher and a lot of background information. However, thinking over it now, because of course we always think of better answers way after the question was asked, it occurred to me that Kabbalah is not the, quote, never-taught mystical concepts that they used to be. In fact, Kabbalah is integrated more and more into our daily lives, only we call it Hasidus. Hasidus, literally the way of a pious person, takes the heavy mystical concepts and translates them into concepts we can understand. For example, Kabbalah often speaks of the soul and the emotions, but in a very metaphorical way. So the Tanya, a book written by the Alter Rebbe, also speaks about the soul and the emotions. And while the Tanya is still not a book for light reading, it is more approachable than the Zohar, for example. In fact, there are many books now published that explain the Tanya in very easy terms. And hey, it's still Kabbalah. This week's Parsha is Parshas Behar Bechukosai, the last two portions in the book of Vayikra, Leviticus. In Parshas Behar, we learn the many laws of Shemitah and Yovel, the sabbatical and jubilee years during which the land must lie fallow, the law requiring us to free all slaves during these years, and the prohibition of taking interest from a loan to a Jew. The Izbitzer Rebbe brings out a very interesting point in relation to the Kabbalistic text, the Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah uses the Hebrew word ashan, smoke, which is the Rashi Tevos, the mnemonic for olam, space, shana, time, and nefesh, spirit. Just as a soul is a divine creation, so are space and time, and each creation has all these three components. The three concepts mentioned in this Torah portion correspond to the three components of creation. Buying property, shemitah, correlates to olam, space. Taking interest corresponds to shana, time, because the amount of interest is proportional to the amount of time. And the concept of freeing slaves relates to the nefesh, spirit, that is within every person. The Rebbe tells us that the main message of Parshas Behar is the concept of faith in Hashem. People will buy land, putting their faith in it, thinking that the land is always there and it is dependable. But Shemitah helps us to rid our dependence on the land and give our credit to God. Time. Wow, how people put their faith in time. Oh, leave him alone, he'll settle down in time, or she'll learn sooner or later. The prohibition against taking interest reminds us again that time is not the cure. Hashem is. And finally, many will place their faith in a person. But as we've all seen from politics, people are not infallible as well. The return of our servants, those we depend upon the most, remind us yet again that we owe our thanks to the one and only Hashem. Have a good Shabbos.
I'm gonna get it, 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 I'm gonna get it,
Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is brought to you by Perfect Flooring, 412-551-1697. Yitzchak Chico Kadosh says, we bring the showroom to you. Call 412-551-1697 for Perfect Flooring. And now, our renowned storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
In his youth, Reb David of Lelov, Yerushalayim, studied under one of the best melamdim of Yerushalayim. Reb Elozer Mendel, David's father, diligently followed his son's progress. Each day, he tested him on what he had learned that day. The child's replies gave him an insight into the teacher's character. He heard that each day before the lesson began, the teacher would walk over to the window and stand there for a few moments, looking out into the distance. Tears would flow down his cheeks. The Rebbe's eyes are like rain spouts. So much water flows from them, little Dovido would report. On the day that Reb Elozer Mendel heard this marvelous description, he summoned the Melamed and told him what Dovido had said. Tell me, why do you weep? He asked. Many, many years ago, I visited Rebbe Yisachar Dov of Rodichev and beheld something exalted. He was silent for a moment. He shut his eyes, envisioning the scene, which had occurred many years earlier. Finally, he continued, an unfortunate woman, whose husband had been missing for some time, came to the Rebbe, begging him to reveal her husband's whereabouts. Go outside, the Rebbe told his attendant, and bring back the first person you meet on the street. He left, returning a few minutes later, with a gross-looking peasant in tow. The Rebbe turned to him, threateningly, and demanded that he reveal his true identity. The man was so frightened by the Rebbe's stern tone that he burst out, I am the husband of this woman. He pointed at the woman standing by. The Rebbe then ordered him to give her a divorce and release her from her difficult state. I was present at that time, continued the boy's teacher, and witnessed this open revelation of divine spirit. It moved me deeply. At that moment, I resolved to enter the Rebbe's room and hide under his bed so that I could watch his wondrous ways at night as well. And I did that. I slipped into his room and crept under his bed. I waited for him to retire. In the wee hours of the night, after long hours of exhausting studying, the Rebbe entered his bedroom to catch a few hours of sleep. But he discovered me almost immediately and called for his attendant to remove me from the room. I was all a tremble when the attendant dragged me out from under the bed. I was so frightened, I leaped to my feet and tried to run. When the Rebbe saw me about to flee, he stopped me and said, young man, what do you want? Yiras Shomayim, the fear of God, I burst out. So be it, he said heartily. Each time you are about to begin teaching, may you be gripped by thoughts of repentance. This was the Rebbe's blessing. And indeed, from that day to this, and dozens of years have elapsed since then, the Rebbe's blessings is still in effect. Each day, just before I begin teaching, I am suddenly beset by thoughts of repentance, and tears begin coursing down my cheeks. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we wrap up one of the last remaining Sefira editions of the Jewish Experience this year, a couple of events to remind you about. Community Pirkei Avos class, don't forget, for women this Shabbos, Cheesecakes for Shavuos, 412-422-7300, 1311. Don't forget to order them. It's you're running out of time. Rieger Family, Shari Torah Congregation is going to have a special event Sunday, May 20th, 6 p.m. Tribute book will be printed, 412-421-8855 for more information. Lunch and Learn, B'nai Amunah Synagogue, Thursday, May 24th. That's the second day of Shavuos. Snake Bites and Poison Antidotes, call 412-521-1477 for more information. Kennywood Jewish Community Day, August 26th. And the meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, Shari Torah, every Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30. Call Ilana, 412-422-2224. Don't forget, and don't miss out. Call to have your Mazel Tovs on the program, 412-979-5770, or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And we'd like to thank Rabbi Yaakov Rosenstein for being with us from Torah 101. And, of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Mr. Vordalin, and our engineer, who's always ready and on the go, Jermela Bossenstein, for another outstanding show. Now, we got candlelighting time this week is 8:07 p.m., and it's been a ton of fun, but I got to run. Till next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat.
Malachi Elyon, Malachi Elyon.